Welcome back, dear friends. This is Christian Pereira, and today we will look at the most important key people in the whole history of the world, from the creation until the end of this world. So it's very important to look at the history of the prophets. And so this is an amazing journey. And so let's look right now at the message and the key people in this history. So what I need you is to write a poster with what you understood, how can you use it in your life practically, and with whom will you share it in order to keep it. So we see that Jehovah God is basically sending his messenger or seer or a prophet to communicate what consequences have our deeds. So communicating consequences to the people. So it was spoken word or writing, explaining dreams or visions, prophecies of the future, divine messages and warnings. So overall message basically is, when we seek God, we replace what's not working with what's working. Failures with victories. Sin with righteousness. And so repentance. This is key. This is the key word. Transformation. Replacement. So, why? Because this provides help, healing, power, relationships, peace, all the good things of life. So, a messenger providing a message of repentance, and we can see top three prophets in the whole history. It's Jesus Christ, the anointed Yeshua. Moses, the one who was pulled out from the water in order to pull out his people from slavery, from bondage, and Elijah. And so we see a key feature in between these three. They were fasting 40 days in the strength of God. God strengthened them to fast. And they were meeting on the same mountain. So they were meeting with God, and they also had this meeting together, the three of them. And now we know who and how many times was mentioned in the new covenant. Just we see over 900 times Yeshua, over 80 times Moses, over 70 times Abraham, over 60 times David, and over 30 times Elijah. If we look at names mentioned in the whole Bible, over 7,000 times Jehovah, over 1,000 times Yeshua, over 900 times David, over 800 times Moses, and then over 300 times the other ones like Abraham and Yaakov. And so now, let's start the journey. And we see Abel. And we read about Abel in Genesis 4, in Luke 11, and Jesus said, "The blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation," the generation that lived 2,000 years ago, "from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say to you, it shall be required of this generation." So Jesus recognized Abel as the first martyr who was killed because he was righteous, and his brother envied him. Now Enoch, in Hebrews 11 and Jude 1, we see that Enoch prophesied. The seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, Jehovah came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their works of ungodliness which they have done, and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now let's move forward to Noah. And in Hebrews 11 again, we have this list of the people who are recognized for their faith. But also Peter is writing in the 1 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 2, about Noah. God did not spare the ancient world, yet preserved Noah, a preacher or herald of righteousness, with seven other souls, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, Abraham. So, when we look at Abraham in Genesis 20 and also Hebrew 11, we see he is a prophet and he will pray for you and you will live. This is what Jehovah said back then about Abraham. Now, in Genesis 21 from 50 and also Hebrews 11, we have Isaac, Yaakov or Jacob, and Joseph, Yosef. And so by faith, by trusting God, Isaac invoked future blessings on Yaakov and Esau. So we learn that by faith, Yaakov, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Yosef, bowing in worship over the head of his staff, leadership staff. By faith, Yosef made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. So this is very special because we learn how to bless the children, how to bless the next generation and saying good things about them, about their faith, about their love, about the connections. So let's continue to talk well, to bless our children. And we continue. Aaron, Exodus 7. Jehovah said to Moses, "Look, I have made you like a god to Pharaoh, to the king, to the ruler of Egypt. And your brother Aaron will be your prophet, like a messenger. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country." So, again, a message of deliverance, of freedom. Moses, now, being pulled out from the water, Moshe. And so, just as he was pulled out of the water, the same he was called to pull out the people of God from the land of bondage. And in Deuteronomy, the chapter 18, he was saying that Jehovah your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. And we know that he's talking about the anointed one here. And then in Deuteronomy 34, there has never again been a prophet in Israel like Moses. Jehovah spoke face to face with him and sent him to perform powerful miracles in the presence of the king of Egypt. And so, in the front of the entire nation. So, everybody knew that he was sent by God. No one else has ever had the power to do such great things as Moses did for everyone to see. So, God empowered Moses in a special way. And he was saying, "Hey, watch out after the prophet that I will raise up from among your brothers and listen to him, this messenger that is coming." Now, we also see in that part of history 70 elders of Israel in Numbers 11 prophesying. And in the times of Judges, we have Deborah, meaning like a bee. This is the meaning of the name Deborah. And we see in Judges 4 that she was a prophetess and the wife of Lapidot, which means lightning, like a torch. And she was judging in Israel at that time. And she guided Barak, so he was the army captain, to victory. And also she sang a hymn of praise to God. Now, Samuel, or heard by God, because Elkanah, which prayed, we see that she asked for a son to dedicate him to God. And that's the difference between Shemuel and Saul. Shaul was asked by the people for the people, but she asked God for a son for God. So we see all these judges in that time, but in between these judges, Samuel was also a prophet. And we continue now. He was anointing the first two kings of Israel, like Saul and David, which means beloved. The name David means beloved. And he celebrated Passover. And now Shaul, which was the first king anointed, we see that in 1 Samuel 10, he met with a group of prophets and he also prophesied. Now, in that time, we had another prophet named Gad, and Gad means fortune. In 1 Samuel 22 and 1 Chronicles 21, because of the census that David did without the being asking God about this, he had consequences, and he had to choose these consequences: either 3 years of famine, 3 months of enemies overruling him, and 3 days of plague. And so he said, okay, I want to fall in the hands of Jehovah, and that meant the plague. And so the plague consumed over 7,000 souls, and God told David how to build an altar to Jehovah on the threshing floor, Arnoach, so that the burnt offering from this altar caused Jehovah to stop the plague. And so we see God being involved in this communication between God and his servant in such a way that he saw the consequences and how to stop the consequences. And it's very interesting, that place where they brought the offerings, that later became the site of King Solomon's temple. And so now we see in 2 Chronicles 29, it is written, he stationed the Levites in the temple of the Lord with instruments as David prescribed, and God, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. So we see these two prophets now, and also David. He wrote so many messianic psalms, so many psalms that predicted the anointed one, the coming of the anointed one. So that's why we count David as a prophet. And now Nathan, which means gift of God. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 7 how he was telling not to build a temple for God yet, but the son will. So in 2 Samuel 12, we see he's addressing the adultery, the murder, the infant death, and also the division for destruction in between David's family. Now, Asaph, which means getter, in 2 Chronicles 29, it's a Levite and a psalm writer, one of the worship leaders appointed by David. And we see that in 1 Chronicles 25, the tabernacle musician, including all these musicians, so Asaph as well as their sons. And so Asaph. We continue with Ahijah, the brother, which means like brother for Jehovah, his name, in 1 Kings 11. And he was a prophet from Shiloh, and during the time of Solomon, and God had a message that would change the kingdom of Israel forever. And this message was related to Jeroboam, one of the King Solomon's officials. And so he was talking about these two men spoke alone in the countryside. Ahijah took his new cloth and tore it into 12 pieces. So he was the prophet showing that the division in between the tribes of Israel, and giving Jeroboam 10 of the pieces. And he prophesies that the kingdom will be divided. And so terrible things will come in the future. And so we see that this was fulfilled with the destruction of Jeroboam's entire family at the hand of King Baasha. This is 1 Kings 15. Now, Shemaiah, which means Jehovah heard, in 1 Kings 12, we see he was warning Rehoboam and Judah's leaders. Iddo, which means witness, he predicted the rise of Jeroboam in 2 Chronicles 9, and wrote a record of Rehoboam, 2 Chronicles 12. Now, there was a man of God from Judah who denounced the altar of Rehoboam and who was afterward killed by a lion in 1 Kings 13 when he was deceived by another old prophet from Bethel. And so watch out when you hear the word Bethel because they are false prophets. And so Azariah, which means Jehovah, has helped. We see that in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 15. And he warned the king Asa to rid of the idols. And we move forward to Hanani, which means gracious God, 2 Chronicles 16. He was sent to rebuke King Asa to not enter into this league with the king of Syria against the northern kingdom of Israel. And Hanani, yeah, Yehu, Jehovah is he. He is Jehovah. And so he condemned Baasha, king of Israel, and the house of Baasha. So this is 1 Kings 16, accusing him of leading the people into the sin of idolatry. And he's dead also. So Yehu challenged Jehoshaphat, king of Judah also. Elijah. Now we get to Elijah, which means my God is Jehovah. In 1 Kings 17, he prayed for drought. Then he prayed for rain. We see a list of miracles, some things that Elijah did, and also Elisha, his disciple. So it's very interesting because you can count them in any way. Maybe they are 14, but then you see his disciple, because he has a double portion of the Spirit, you see him doing kind of double. The ravens fed him. Flour and oil never run out in the famine. He revives the widow's son. And all these are like in first in the book of 1 Kings from 17, 18, 19. At Mount Carmel, he asked fire from the sky and finished all these deceivers. He outruns Ahab. He was fasting 40 days at Horeb and the power of God. He brought this judgment on the rulers like Ahab, Ahaziah, Isabel, Jeroham, and this fire that consumed the army that came after him. And so he divided the river waters. He was taken up to the sky by a whirlwind. And we see that he's a great representation of someone that is a messenger. And because in Malachi, it's also talking about coming like a messenger. And we talk about John the Baptist later. And also in Luke 1, it is written, he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. So recognizing this spirit and power. Why? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the righteous. So in a such a way that from disobedience to be obedient. And to make people ready, to prepare, to clean the way. And we will talk later about this, but this is very important because when we hear these messages, we always think about ourselves, how we can clean up more of our thoughts, of our words, of our deeds, in order to be pleasant and obedient. And so this is the key message, repentance. And so think about your style, your thinking of everything you're doing in your life, in your family, in your community, and how you can clean up, how you can transform, how you can repent, how you can prepare others for the message. So we see Moses and Elijah appear to Yeshua, but he was with John, Peter, and Yaakov, James. And also James is writing in chapter 5, Elijah was a man like us, but he prayed earnestly. And so he was listening, and it was about raining, not raining, and then raining. And why? Because when we have water, we have the plants producing fruit. We have food. And now let's look a bit at Elisha, which is God is my salvation. And we see the double portion of the spirit because he saw Elijah being taken up. And we think about, you know, people who have been taken up not seeing death, like Enoch and Elijah and maybe even Moses, because that's why they came from the on the mountain, from the sky. And so let's look at a short list of the miracles, you know, partaking the Jordan River, healing the waters, cursing the mockers killed by bears, and filling the valley with water, interpretation of the valley of blood, you know, miracles of the vessels of oil, the Shunammite woman would have a son, and then resurrection of her son, healing of the gourds, miracle with the bread, healing of Naaman's, perception of Gehazi's transgression, cursing with leprosy, floating of the axe, prophecy of the Syrian battle, vision of the chariots, smiting the Syrian army with blindness, restoring the sight, and prophecy of the end of the great famine, and so on and on, so many things, you know, deception of the Assyrians with the sound of chariots. You know, these are kind of interesting details when you think about all these things that happen like miraculously. And so, prophecy of the 7-year famine, the untimely death of Ben-Hadad, Hazael's cruelty to Israel, and you find all the list of the miracles on the lesson on the prophets on Relief Forever, but you know, even resurrection of the man that touched his bones. And now let's look, it's like a chronological timeline, but we will look at the other prophets up to Jesus. So Micaiah, which means who is like Jehovah, and we see in 1 Kings 22, it's one of the four disciples of Elijah. And we move forward to Jehiel, God sees, which is from 2 Chronicles 20. And so, with the king Jehoshaphat, and the unusual step of fasting and calling all Judah to seek help from God, because this is the best way to seek when we need help from God, to fast and pray earnestly, but also this transformation. Fasting is from transformation of our life, for replacement, for repentance. And so God answered through Jehazel, who prophesied that Judah would destroy its enemy, and even gave counsel on how to accomplish this. Now Eliezer, which means God is my help. And so 2 Chronicles 20, Eliezer confronted Jehoshaphat, saying that because he had joined with Hezekiah, God will destroy what he had made. I mean, these ships that he was building. Zechariah now, meaning Jehovah remembers, and it's amazing to look at each of these prophets. If you look on the site, you see a message of explaining each of these prophets, but he had 8 visions of warning in one night, in one dream. But basically, what it was like, repent, restore the power, and rebuild the temple. And that, you know, again, Jehovah is giving the rain. When you have green grass, you have food. Obadiah, meaning like a servant of Jehovah. And so we see this message describing Adam's arrogance against his brother Yaakov when Jerusalem was invaded by the Babylonians. Instead of helping, they were mocking and plundering. So Hosea means he saves. And so we see this story about Israel being unfaithful to God, fornicating with the idols. So basically, when we put our trust or pleasure in created things instead of the Creator, this is idolatry. This is like fornication spiritually. And so God tells the prophet to marry a prostitute, have children with her, and after she is unfaithful, to buy her back in order to show how God is loving us. And, you know, he's saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected, you have forgotten about the guidance that I gave you. I will also forget your children and not keep you as my priest. And Jesus also quoted from this saying, I desire mercy instead of sacrifices and knowledge of God rather than the burnt offerings. And so let's learn about mercy, having mercy, and how much mercy do we have? If we grade ourselves from 1 to 10 and say, hey, I'm full of mercy, it's like 10, or I have just a little bit, let's just grow in having mercy because God is so merciful with us. If you think about all the things that you have gone through and what you already have, you can say truly that God is very merciful with you. So Joel, Jehovah is God, calling on the name of Jehovah in repentance for salvation from the contemporary consuming locusts. And locusts is what is consuming us, like with education, with health, with relationships nowadays. Instead of having that in the house of the Lord, having that in the house of God, you know, the pillar and ground of the truth, where you have forgiveness and health and peace. The things of the world are trying to rob this and deceive us that they are giving us these things. So they are consuming. So replacing the contemporary locusts, just calling on His name. He's the salvation. He's rescuer. He's the provider. Let's fully trust Him with that. Amos, meaning burden, how a food business owner is warning others about consequences of oppression to poverty and personal gain, because materialism leads to idolatry and adultery. So it's very important how God is choosing His people. He called this man, who was like a business owner, to address materialism, basically, in His people. And so, Jonah, which means dove. And so, he was sent to the great city of Nineveh, which wasn't in Israel, to preach against it because of its wickedness. And it's very interesting that Yeshua is saying about evil and wicked generation seeks a sign, and he was talking about the generation 2,000 years ago from Israel, but he's saying the only sign it will be given is just like Jonah was inside of a fish, a big fish, for 3 days, the Son of Man will be inside of the earth for 3 days. And so we see that the people of Nineveh, when they heard the message, they proclaimed fast and they were repenting. We know later in history that they turned back to their sin and they were destroyed. But, you know, Jonah was a Hebrew and the Ninevites wasn't Hebrew. So he was kind of, oh, you are such a merciful God and you have compassion. But he was kind of regretting that they were repenting because he wanted maybe for them to be destroyed. But, you know, at the end of the day, they were destroyed. So, Micah, who is like Jehovah? So, we see these prophecies like Bethlehem Ephrathah, which you are a small among the clans of Judah, and one will come from you to be the ruler of all Israel. And, again, we see this happening just Jesus coming from that tribe, but also knowing about God that He has told you what is good and what Jehovah requires of you. Number one, to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. Number three, to walk humbly with your God. And let's just take this to heart, you know, justice, mercy, humbleness, and just write posters in on the walls of our house and say, humble, justice, mercy. But this is true justice, like God is having with us. So Isaiah, Jehovah is salvation. And we see the message for His people, for destruction of other nations, and amazing prophecies about the coming of the Anointed One in Isaiah. Nahum means comfort. And it is written how Jehovah is good, a stronghold in the day of distress. He cares for those who take refuge in Him. Sometimes I put like a key verse from each of them, but you can look at each of these books in the context, just reading the whole book or listen to the audio or the explanation on the side. But Habakkuk, which means embraced, being safe in God's hand, because God is punishing evil, allowing evil to overcome evil. So let's just choose the good And he's concluding that even when no fruit, like no food, there's, he's going to continue to rejoice in God. And this is our heart also. I mean, whatever condition we are, we can rejoice in God. We can thank God for what we already have and be content. Because everyone goes through hard times. So Zephaniah, which means hidden or concealed by Yehovah. And so we look at this message that it's about the day of judgment, a time that consequences and punishment for Judah and other nations. But also these messages have like a coming of the kingdom hope. It's like a salvation besides the warning. So Jeremiah, which means sanctified or set apart, and he's calling him to prophesy. You know, we talk about Jeremiah chapter 29, the famous chapter where in captivity he has thoughts of peace for us and to pray for the peace of the city, because our peace depends on the peace of the city where we live. And we learn about how God thinks about us when we're going through hard times, feeling the consequences of our deeds. Ezekiel, meaning the strength of God, like a watchman warning that whose sins shall die, and each and every one we are responsible, but also the prophecy about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now Daniel, which means judgment of God, we see how God is giving knowledge to his people, and especially the interpretation of the dream about the five kingdoms. But in our situation, we understand that this kingdom, this reign, this empire of heaven came 2,000 years ago, and everyone needs to serve and obey him and his saints, which are part of the kingdom, the disciples of Christ. And as we are teaching many righteousness, how to live right, how to live clean, we're shining like stars, because God is able to rescue us and to humble those who are not humble. And this is his judgment. Basically, this is what Daniel means. And so Haggai, which means festive, like a festival, the best festival, the best time to celebrate is when? When we rebuild the house of God, or the place where we meet to worship him and serve him. So Malachi, which means my messenger, he's preparing the people by cleaning the way. And so we see the differences between righteousness and wicked, and we honor by bringing the contribution, our contribution, to have abundance into his house. And so we get to John, the immerser, the baptizer, the mikveh, the gracious one. John means gracious. And so we see how he's preparing the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And you know, it's interesting how Jesus is asking about John. Was his baptism from heaven or from men? And so people begin to argue, saying, if it's from heaven, why did you believe him? I mean, obey him. I mean, why haven't you received that baptism for the forgiveness of sin? Yet, if we say it is from men, they will be afraid of the crowd, because everyone thought that John was a genuine prophet. So, but many people receive the baptism for the forgiveness of sin, and then they become disciples of Jesus. So Anna, which means favor, we see her in Luke 2 with the dedication of Yeshua in the temple. And she was a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years. She was a widow serving in the temple, and she prayed day and night. Amen. Such a great example. Agabus, which is in the book of Acts 11 and 21, and we see that he was going to Paul, the humble apostle, and saying, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles, to the nations. And we see this a little bit like in Jeremiah 13, where Jehovah is saying to the prophets, buy yourself a linen waistband and put it around your waist, and so on and on. But the thing is, he prophesied to Paul. And then Simon, which means God heard, in Acts 13, he was one of the prophets and teachers in the church of Antioch. And then Silas, which means wood or forest. And in Acts 15, Judah and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the disciples. And so we see this is a important ministry that we can, each and every one, we can do to encourage, give courage, to remind the victories, the answered prayers, the great testimonies, the conversion, and just strengthen one another. And so finally we see Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves, or the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed with oil, just like Samuel anointed Saul and David with oil like kings. Jehovah anointed Yeshua as King of Kings and Lord of Lords because he was obedient. So that's why we call him Christ. You shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save my people from their sins. And so we see in the gospel the birth, the calling, the teaching, the healing, the sending, and the resurrection. And so you can look at the whole Gospel of Matthew to go through the whole beautiful story of what happened 2,000 years ago. But he said, which is easier to say to someone that is unable to move, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your stretcher and walk, so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? He told to the paralytic, get up, pick up your stretcher and go home. And immediately he got up, and we believe this miracle. And so that's the connection between the miracle and the forgiveness of sin. That was the purpose of the miracles in the prophet Jesus, is to confirm that he's the Son of God. He's the last prophet. He's the one that he was prophesied as a deliverer for all the nations, not just for the Jews. And that was the second purpose of the miracle, especially in the prophets. And we can see that in the book of Acts, is to confirm that the message that we can live eternally, it's not just for the Jews, it's for all the nations. And that's the gift of the kingdom for all the nations. So we see that when he started ministry, Mark 1, Yeshua said basically, time is here, it's fulfilled. So the kingdom is near, repent. So that's the message, repent and believe the gospel. Then he called some of the men to follow him as fishers of men, to fish for people, to hunt for people, for souls who are worthy to continue teaching in every generation. But also rejoice and be glad when you are persecuted. When you go through hard times, rejoice. And so we want to continue to follow him as disciples and to make disciples, because he also said the prophet is without honor in his hometown. So maybe people know you and say, hey, you're now converted and you're different. You are different and you have the Holy Spirit, and you need to go to other nations if you are not respected in your hometown, because that's a lack of faith. And so when it was asked about him, people saying it's a prophet, but even Peter said, you are the anointed one. And so on Peter, because he said, our Father from heaven showed you this, and because of that I will build my church on you, I will build my congregation, my assembly. And we see that in the book of Acts. But also we know that false prophets will rise up and perform even signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the called disciples. So there's no problem that there are signs and wonders, but there's no need of them. We have the scripture, which is sufficient to give us enough faith to believe, enough faith to be saved, but also to be mature, to be sanctified. And Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, which you know in history happened, and also he's concluding to teach other disciples to fulfill everything I have commanded. And you can look at the, I've done a study with the commandments in order. But just like we said, the first one was repent, and we see even in the book of Revelation, he was addressing that repentance into the churches. And so on three occasions, we see God the Father just speaking aloud about Jesus from heaven. And it was at the baptism, and he said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," Mark 1. Also, the second time it was on the mountain, Matthew 17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, follow him." And it was that great encounter with Moses and Elijah, Peter, John, and Yaakov. And the third time, when Yeshua prayed and said, "Father, glorify your name," then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified and I will glorify it again," John 12. So this is important to have that witness, people who witness, who heard this voice from heaven. And the Hebrew writer is saying that God at various times spoke in the past through the prophets, but in this last day he's spoken us through his Son. So we have all the words of God. Now we see the last writing of Revelation by John. We see these great messages of God of exhortation to the churches. And as I said, you know, repent. And also the only one worthy to take the book and the prophecy and to open it was Yeshua, the Lamb. And so, Revelation 22, "The grace of our Lord Yeshua, the Anointed One, be with all the saints. Amen." So, thank you so much for being together in this time. I know it was going through the whole history of the world with the key people. So, let's say a prayer in concluding. Heavenly Father, I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this history lesson of just knowing that you want to communicate with all the people this message of transformation, that we can be healed, we can be clean, we can be healthy, and Father, live a life for you here in earth. I mean, why anyone would like to be in heaven and live eternally if not here is living with you, just praying and singing and fellowshipping and sharing about you, sharing the praises of you, that you called us from darkness to light, from the world to your kingdom, eternal kingdom. So thank you so very much for this history. These are the most important people in history, and we recognize your Son as the most number one top, Yeshua. And so thank you so much for giving us clarity about the message, and bless each and every one that takes this decision to follow, continue to follow. If they are already disciples or if they are not, please reach with this message all those who want to find the most important, the most impactful, the most influencers in the whole history of the world, which are your people, and especially the prophets, because you talk directly with them in order to communicate with the people. And they went through hard times, but you strengthened them. So we praise you for that. And please help each and every one of us be like them, Father, and just communicate your message of transformation, of repentance, of just this hope that we don't have to be stuck in our problems. It doesn't matter if it's like a health issue or emotional, relationship, financially, anything. You have the power. You're the Almighty. And please, Father, deliver the people, just like Yeshua. We understand he's the Savior. Help, Father, bring deliverance to the people in every generation, in every location, until the end of this world, so that in heaven we can look back to these times and praise you even more, Father. We know we will have amazing fellowship over it, amazing worship, but the only thing we can do here and we cannot do over there is to seek and save the lost. So this is the purpose of connecting and encouraging and praying one for another, Father, to make disciples. So please bless each and every one from the team on Relay Fervor, Cantando Escritura Cristiana Pedro, before a church everywhere in the world that is dedicated to find their, a team of people, just like Jesus had the team of apostles to evangelize, re-evangelize the world in every generation. Amen.